We're up here at the Home Missionary Baptist Church about a year ago, and several said something to us about they were going to give us Southern hospitality. Well, I'm used to Southern hospitality. I like Northern hospitality. And we appreciate the Northern hospitality we've received since we've been here, and we really have received it. Be honest about that. From the church, from this church, and from the other churches, the Covenant Baptist Church, and let me see, I've got them written down. The Pathway Baptist Church and the Liberty Baptist Church, and you fine pastors, I personally want to thank you for having the conference. I'm excited about it. I really am. A lot more after last night than I was before. And I'll tell you something. You don't get too surprised. You know, we might have a revival. We really might. It got started last night with me, and I wish I could stay here and get all of it because I need it. But some of you preachers, I've been thinking about this. You might ought to be careful and not go back and try to preach everything you've heard here because you might be looking for a place to preach. I don't know about that. But it's been, for us, it's been tremendous, I'll tell you. And we were looking forward to coming and being in this conference, and the Lord blessed us and give us the opportunity to come, and we've enjoyed it. And I'm glad He just give us the amount that we've got. I don't know whether I could stand the rest of it, not tell you the truth. But it's been so great, I might just leave and go on to be with the Lord. I don't know. After last night, we went home, and normally I don't have too much trouble going to sleep, but after hearing the messages last night, the wonderful spirit that was in the service, and then thinking about having to preach today, I had a little trouble going to sleep last night. But I'm honest. Really, I want to tell you the truth about this. I can never remember in my years in the ministry, since I've been an independent missionary Baptist, being in any service, especially at a conference, any better if it's great as last night. That's the honest truth, folks. That's from the bottom of my heart. I really did enjoy it. That I suppose probably one of the reasons for it. About 12 years ago, I was in heresy. I had no conception or idea of what the Lord's church, His kind of church was. Knew nothing about it. One church was as good as another as far as I was concerned. I knew nothing about the great and glorious doctrines of the grace of God, only that He saved me when I didn't deserve to be saved. That's all I knew. That's all you need to know to be saved. But I knew I was lost, and there was no hope for me other than something beyond anything that I'd ever known. And, of course, I found that out to be Jesus Christ. But the Lord, in His mercy and grace, extended me the privilege to learn these great truths, and I learned them. And to me today, other than salvation through Jesus Christ, the most precious thing upon this earth is the Lord's church. I have no apology to make to anybody for being an independent missionary Baptist. Nobody. And what breaks my heart, folks, today is that many of those that the Lord used to lead me out of heresy into the truth, that taught me wonderful doctrines that I know today to be the truths of God's Word, showed me that I was wrong. And many of those today are headed back in the same direction that I came from. What it makes me to realize today, folks, that the only thing between you and I today that know the truth and believe the truth and are following truth, the only thing between us and the worst false prophet, or any individual that's in heresy today, the only thing that's between us and keeping us from being like them is the wonderful, marvelous grace of God. And you pray that God may ever extend me that grace and that I'll never forget it. It's not within me, but only in Him. We will be leaving today, and we ask that you pray for us and pray for our church member, Brother Jago Shelton. Several of you know that many of you preachers have preached at Julian Baptist Church, and you know Brother Jago Shelton, one of our very faithful members, and he's a pastor's friend. You know, we've got a lot of faithful members, and all of them I appreciate and thank the Lord for, but this is one of those, you know, that every once in a while will call me and say, "Pastor, is there anything I can do for you? You know, do you need a little money?" Of course, you know, he's known Baptist preachers long enough to know that they all need money every once in a while. So he says, "Say, can I help you a little bit?" You know, and things like that. And I appreciate him. You know, he's one of those you can fall back on when you need somebody to sort of pray with you, pray for you, to help you. And we thank the Lord. And I've taught my people that when they get sick, the first one they ought to call is the Lord. The second one, the pastor, and then call the doctor. I believe that. I really believe that. I really do. And of course, some others have taught him that before I came along. He believed that too. And so he desires us to be there, and we desire to be with him. So you pray for us, if you will. They turn with us to the book of Jeremiah chapter 6. You pray for us. I tell you, you know, for several years when I first became an independent missionary Baptist, and I went to a few conferences, and I said, "Lord, if it please you, one day just let me preach one time in a conference." You know, I had all of these sermons I could preach, and I just knew that I could just really do something great. Then the first time it happened, I said, "Lord, forgive me. I'll never ask you to do that again." But to you, preacher brethren, that's stood in the place that I now stand, understand what I'm talking about. You pray for me today. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 8. "Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest thy soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly clean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with that is full of years, with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear a word. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." When I read these verses of Scripture that God spake through the prophet Jeremiah to Judah, and it's almost today like hearing God speaking to America. I see and I constantly hear about sex perversion, about drugs, about alcoholism. In Nashville, Tennessee, 2 weeks ago, in 2 weeks, four people, one preacher's, Baptist preacher's wife, were killed in auto accidents, and all four of them were killed by drunk teenagers. drunk teenagers. Now what I'm trying to say is today that you and I today that are disturbed about what's taking place are reaping the results of people rejecting God's Word. I want to just mention one or two things in the Scripture, then we're going to get to our message. But I want you to notice, first of all, verse 8, it says, "Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem." And I believe today the number one thing that God's people need is instruction. God's instruction. A word from God. Then in verse 10, it says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning?" We need, first of all, preachers that will instruct God's people. Then secondly, we need some people that will listen to instruction. God says through Jeremiah, said, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it." Folks, that's just exactly where we're at today. I want to talk to you today with keeping this thought in mind from verse 16. Old-fashioned, up-to-date missionary Baptists. Old-fashioned, up-to-date missionary Baptists. We've already heard mentioned in this conference thus far by the two brethren that preached last night and Brother Wilkerson this morning about all of the turmoil and the anxiety, and every preacher that I talk to and every church that I talk to is having turmoil in their congregation, and preachers are anxious about things. I find pastors all the time and say, "Brother Smith, I don't know what I'm going to do anymore." And that's sort of where many of us stand today. But I want you to notice what this verse says. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths." Why? Why do we need to ask for the old paths? Notice, it says, "Where is the good way?" That's number one. We ought to ask for the old paths because that's the good way. It's not only God's way, but it's the proven way. It's worked in the past. Why shouldn't it work today? If it's like the song used to say, the old time religion, "It's good enough for mother and daddy, it's good enough for me." If it was good enough to save Daniel in the lion's den and the Hebrew children, it's good enough to save me today. It's the good way. Then not only that, but it says, "And ye shall find rest for your souls." The reason we have the turmoil and anxiety today is because we're not in the old ways. We're in new ways, and we don't know what to do with them, and we're lost in these ways, and wandering to and fro, and worrying about what's going to happen. Old-fashioned, up-to-date missionary Baptist. Now, I've got a lot of scriptures and a lot of things to say, and I don't know how many of them I get done, but I got most of them written down. So you just follow along behind me, and I'll try in this not southern accent, but this country accent to speak plain enough where you can understand. I wish that I thought I could preach the message as plain and as simple as it is. God's message is plain. God's message is simple. And the reason there's so much confusion today is because of Baptist preachers have confused God's message. God is not the author of confusion, but a lot of Baptist preachers are. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, that Brother Jones brought such a great message from last night. And I believe this is the mission and the task of missionary Baptists today. Jesus said, came to them and spake unto them and said, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And that being the case, he said, "Go ye therefore." He said, "All power is given unto me, and so I'm sending you, so you go," just trusting in the fact that Jesus has all authority. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now that's Baptist's mission today. That's the mission of missionary Baptists, old-fashioned. Yes, old-fashioned. They're just as old as you can get as far as the church is concerned. There's nobody any older. That's old-fashioned, isn't it? When you go back to the beginning, that's as old as you can get. And they are up to date. God hasn't started anything since then. And so they're old-fashioned, update. And this is their mission and their task. And there are four things. And these are not new things. As Brother Jones said last night, we don't have anything new. It's just the same thing rehashed, maybe a little different way today. But I want to talk to you about the means, the method, the messenger, and the message of old-fashioned, up-to-date missionary Baptist. First of all, the means. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, I charge thee, talking to Timothy. I want to stop. This is something I want to do. I was aiming to do it and I forgot it. How many of you preachers out here started preaching from Kentucky? You were saved and the Lord called you to preach from Kentucky. Let me see your hands. All right. Now, how many of you were saved and called to preach under the ministry of a preacher from Kentucky? Let me see your hands. All right. No wonder we're having a conference. the point I'm trying to make is a gentleman told me last night, pointing to Brother Eugene Clark, said he is my father in the ministry. You know, Timothy said Paul. Paul said Timothy was his son in the ministry. And I thank God today that I can bow before some of my elders, not, as Brother Clark said, as reverend or anything of that nature, but I can bow before them today and thank God for them. Amen. That they've taught me these truths that I know. Amen. I'm glad that there are some fathers in the ministry. And Paul gave Timothy this charge. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. That's the charge Paul gave Timothy. And it's the charge that the Lord gave his church. Amen. To Amen. Preach the word. And there's no substitute for it today. Amen. There is no substitute for preaching the Amen. Word. Now I want to tell you something. And I love good singing. But I want to tell you, good singing is not preaching the gospel. Amen. And I believe it's strong enough I lost about 30 or 40 members over it. Sure did. And you know the surprising thing, some of those that told me said you can't have a revival without a quartet singing. I don't know, the Lord got mixed up. He happened to save some after the left. I don't know what happened. But there's nothing on the face of God's earth that takes the place of preaching the word of God. That's the means that God has given us as missionary Baptists. Preach the word. He said, Timothy, be instant in season, out of season. It doesn't mean it's whether it's convenient or not. Just preach it anyhow. Amen. Preach the word. Entertainment won't do it. Sure it won't. You know, I love to be entertained. And sometimes one of the best places to get entertained I know of is the church. Some churches. Really is. You know, I was trying to think about what somebody said. I believe it was Brother Forrest Keener said, I won't get into that. Don't have time. But entertainment, as much as you might enjoy it, and I enjoy it, and I'm like Brother Clark, God help a Baptist church that has movies. And that's just exactly how I feel about it, folks. Now, that's country preaching, but that's it. It's Bible preaching, too, by the way. But entertainment, you know, there's only one guarantee in God's Word to be a success as a preacher or a church. Only one. If you want to read it, turn to Isaiah 55. Begin reading verse 8. Right on down through verse 11. God gives us a guarantee for success. Amen. He sure does. He said he starts off and he says, my ways are not as your ways and my thoughts are not as your thoughts. As heaven is far above this earth, so is God's ways and God's thoughts far above this earth. Man can't understand God's ways and God's thoughts. But God said, just as sure as the rain falls and waters this whole earth, and the seed begins to sprout and come forth, and just as sure as the snow falls and comes down and waters this whole earth and moistens the seed and it comes forth, that's just how sure God's word will accomplish its purpose. Have you ever seen the rain go up? Have you ever seen the snow go up? Well, undoubtedly some people do because they don't believe God's word will do the job anymore.
And as long as the rain keeps coming down and the snow keeps coming down, Paul said, Timothy, keep on preaching. It'll get the job done. Preaching the word. The only means that we have. I want to just give you just a few scriptures. And this is what the Lord said to his church. The means of doing her mission is preaching the word. Mark 16:15. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:47. And repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Unto them that perish is foolishness. Verse 21, it said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now it says, to those that perish, preaching is foolishness. But to those that believe, it's the power of God. Listen, many Baptists today think preaching is foolishness. Makes you wonder about where they're going, doesn't it? 1 Thessalonians 1:5-6, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. In 2 Timothy 2:9, this is a verse of scripture I heard Brother Eugene Clark preach on some encouraging things in some discouraging times, and I heard a lot he said, but this verse of scripture stuck with me, of this part of this verse of scripture, and I've never forgotten. Paul, writing to Timothy, and I'm just reading between the lines. He said, Timothy, they may put me in jail. They may lock me up. They may even cut my head off one day, but the word of God's not bound. I'll tell you something, folks. They may put us fanatical Baptists someday in prison. We may have to go underground, but the word of God that we preach is not bound today. Amen. The means of salvation today of lost souls is preaching the word of God. Not only is it used to save souls, but it's used to sanctify souls too. It sanctifies us first of all in justification. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. The thing that sets you and I apart from the rest of the world when we are saved is the preaching of God's word. Amen. Certainly God, before the world began, set us apart in his great purpose of grace. But I'm talking about in this day in which we live, the thing that set us apart or sanctified us from the rest of the world in justification was the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God that exploded in our hearts and lives. Not only that, but it sanctifies us in our everyday life. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Folks, if you want your church members to live like they ought to, then preach the word to them. I tell you, you can't legislate morality. Can't do it. It won't work. God laid the laws down a long time ago, and they haven't been abiding them since then. Do you think if they won't abide by God's laws, that they'll abide by mine and yours? Make all of them you want to. The only way a person will ever keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ is through the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Sanctify them through that truth. You know, I tell you what, you preach the word to people, they get saved, then it'll sanctify them. You won't have to worry about the attitude. You won't have to worry about their attire. I believe that. I believe you get a person saved the right way by preaching God's word to them, the gospel. They'll have the right attitude, or the devil will get in them every once in a while. But the Lord will take care of that too if you preach the word to them. He'll straighten them out. And I'll tell you something. You don't have to worry too much about what they wear if you preach to them. Preach God's word to them. Preach them. I believe a person that's cleaned up on the inside by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ will clean up on the outside too. Then I'll tell you something else. You won't have to worry too much about their action.
It'll take care of their attitude, their attire, and their action. The preaching of the Word of God saves, it sanctifies, and it separates to service. You know, we use all kind of tactics today to try to get members of churches to do what they should do as a Christian. And I'll tell you, if we just leave all of that alone and just preach God's Word, we wouldn't have that problem. I'll tell you what, they'll either do what they're supposed to or they'll go somewhere else, one or the other. Sure will. Preaching the Word will turn people to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he told these Jews, you know, somebody asked the question not too long ago, is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, why is the resurrection so important? Well, first of all, it's by that that we're justified.
Amen.
That's our hope, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's another reason. We as saved people ought to emphasize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It gives power to us. Old Peter, there at the trial of Jesus Christ, and they said, well, my, you're one of his followers. Well, I saw you with him. He said, no, you didn't see me with this Galilean. They said, well, even your speech, you know, sounds like it. He said, no, you know, three times. And then, of course, the old rooster crowed, and he remembered and wept. But he denied his Lord. Just a little while after that, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just a few days after that, that same Peter that denied his Lord, after the resurrection, stood and told those same people, said, you with wicked hands have slain the God of glory. That's the power of the resurrection, folks, even in saved people's life. But as he preached that day at Pentecost, it says, now when they heard this, heard what? The preaching of the Word of God. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Not just what shall we do to be saved, but what shall we do? How are we to be saved? And then what shall we do after we are saved? Preaching the Word of God separates to service. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is what makes people followers of Jesus Christ. Hearing Word preached gets people saved, gets them sanctified, and gets them to serving. Now, just a little bit on the propagating the Word of God. We're not Mennonites. By that I mean we don't believe that you still got to ride a horse or in a buggy. A lot of them down our way that think you do, you know. But we don't believe that. We have quit riding camels and horses and buggies and, you know, and refuse to ride the automobile. I believe there are means by which we can propagate the Word of God. I believe in tracts. I pass out tracts. We have a tract rack in our church. And I believe in radio and TV ministry. But I want to just say something about this. You know, I believe today, I really believe, that one of the worst things that's happened to Baptist people is radio and TV preachers.
That's right.
You know,
amen.
Madeline Murray O'Hara is trying to get all the gospel singing, gospel preaching off of TV and radio, and I used to be all up in arms about it. But I'm almost the place, just let Madeline Murray O'Hara have it. You know, most of those fellows, and this is a terrible thing to say, most of those fellows on there are serving the same God that Madeline Murray O'Hara is in here. The God of the flesh. I'm not saying they're atheists, but they're serving the God of the flesh. They have a 30-minute program on TV or radio, and about all that you ever hear them say is their name and send you money. They'll read a verse of Scripture, Brother Harold Harvey, and I sat and listened to one the other day. He kept count of how many times he called his name and never mentioned the name of his church. Never one time returned to the verse of Scripture that he started with. All he mentioned was his name and send you money. You want to be sure you know where to send your money to. Now, what I'm trying to say is I believe radio and TV could be used properly, but there's only one way to use it, and you listen to what I'm fixing to say. There is no such thing as a worldwide mission program. There isn't. I'll tell you what it is. It's a
local missionary program that ought to be sent out worldwide.
Amen.
This business of your radio pastor and your TV pastor is a thing of Satan and of the devil. And the reason many of our Baptists today don't know one church from another or one doctrine from another is because of listening to that trash.
Amen.
I believe radio programs, but I'll tell you what, it ought to be in the local church.
Amen.
It ought to be sponsored by the local church.
Amen.
And you ought to be ashamed if you give your money anywhere else.
Amen.
But to your local church.
Amen.
If your local church hadn't got sense enough to know how to distribute your money, then you ought to leave and join one that does.
Amen. Amen.
Propagating the word of God. Any way that's scriptural, propagate it. But if it's not scripture, you better leave it alone.
Amen.
All right. That's my first point. So don't worry about it. I'm hungry too. The means, the methods. Man, that'll raise your hair, won't it? Methods, you know. People get excited about methods. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. And I'm sure most of you dream about this a lot. Because it's a favorite scripture with independent missionary Baptists. Some love it and some hate it, but all of them know about it. Acts 13, 1 through 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. Now I want you to notice something in this scripture. I'm talking about methods now. Now there were in the church.
Amen.
Circle there. Put a little circle around that. In the church. Guess I'm too harsh. My wife says I'm sort of blunt, but that's about the only way I know to say anything. That's, you know, when I grew up in the country, when you wanted the mule to go, you said come up. You wanted to stop, you said whoa. That's about the only way I know to do. Just come up and whoa. So that's about the only way I know how to put it. But you circle that and listen. I'm at the place that Brother Clark said about Brother V.A. Turner said to make a buzzard puke. That's about where I am on this business of any church. These missionaries are talking about, I'm out of a certain church. I'm out of a certain church. Well, as far as I'm concerned, if they're out of it, then I've got no business fooling with them.
Amen.
It says here, now they were in the church. That's where they belong. Missionaries belong in the church, not out of it. And they ought to stay in the church, not get out of it.
Amen.
They're God sent. It says, now there were in the church, there was at Antioch certain prophets. And you know, the rest of the scripture, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And while they ministered to the Lord, all they fasted, notice it said, and the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul. The Spirit said to the church, said, church, whatever it might be, Home Baptist Church, Union Baptist, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul. I want you to notice what separate to me, to God. Not separate nobody else. No organization, nothing else but to God.
Amen.
The missionary, they're in the church, they ought to stay in the church, and the church separates them to God.
Amen.
Then notice not only that, but it says, for the work whereunto I have called them. They're God sent. God send them. I believe that God is to send. And I'll tell you, instead of arguing, fussing about this, we ought to just thank God that He chose that way to do it.
Amen.
That's right. I don't have any fight with God because He chose to send missionaries out of the local church. I don't really understand this. I said I'm not too sharp. Anyhow, maybe I'm better off. I don't know. But it says in the church, and if God says in the church, why do we want to get out of it? And why do we try to figure out methods and means and ways or anything to get out of it if God said be in?
Amen.
Reminds me of what Paul said about the Bereans. They spend time doing nothing else but trying to figure out some way to get out of the church, you know, and do their own thing, I guess you could say. But this is God's word. And God is the man that separates them and sends them. Now, of course, it's the church's responsibility. Notice it says in the last part of verse 3 of Acts 13, and they sent them away. They sent them on the way. God called them and said, this is where I want them to go. And the church sent them on the way.
Amen.
And since Jesus Christ established His church, there's never been any other way.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, what about during the Dark Ages It's still that way during the Dark Ages. There never was a time that the Church of Christ ceased to exist. If it did, then Jesus lied in Mark 16:18 when he said the gates of Hades or death shall not prevail against it. Now, that doesn't mean that the enemies of Jesus Christ prevail against it, but Jesus said death itself won't destroy it. And what he was saying was that when those disciples, apostles died, his church would go on. That's what he was talking about. And in Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 20, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, the apostles died a long time ago, didn't they? So he gave it to somebody that's going to be until he comes back. That was his church.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, what about the Dark Ages? Well, if his church ceased to exist, then he gave a principle in Matthew chapter 18 that he knew couldn't be carried out. He said when a brother offends another brother, they'd get together and get this thing straightened out. They can't carry two or three witnesses like the old law said. And then if they couldn't tell it to the church, how are you going to tell it to something that doesn't exist? Jesus told us to do something that he knew we couldn't do if his church ceased to exist.
Amen.
Then something else, if it really did cease to exist, I want to tell you, ask you something rather. Who was leaving those bloody footprints over in the Valley of Piedmont and over in the Alps back in the first and second century? Who was leaving those bloody footprints over there? Who was it that was dying and shedding their blood? Oh, somebody says the Protestants. No, I beg your pardon. Protestants hadn't come along yet. They wasn't in the picture yet. And it surely wasn't the Catholics. They weren't killing themselves. Leaves only one other group. That's the Baptists, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way the Lord's always done his work. And he still does it. Right quick, I want to show you something else. The object of the mission work of the church. In Acts 14 and 23, and it says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and in prayed and fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. I'll tell you, the church's mission work today is to send out missionaries, organize and start missions, organize them into New Testament Baptist churches, and call them pastors to pastor. I believe every bit of that. I believe that's exactly the way it is. You have your own ideas, I have mine, and that's God's, and that's what I want to go along with. All right, right quick, the messenger. Romans 10:14-15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The messenger is God called, first of all. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. God's speaking out of us about Paul. He's a chosen vessel unto me. He's God called. Not only that, he's God appointed. He said he's going to send them to the children of to the Gentiles, not to the children of Israel. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, Paul said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle. God called, God appointed. But then I want you to notice something else about this message. He's examined by the church. He really is. I believe that today. I want to tell you, any pastor's not willing to sit down and be examined by the church, got no business pastoring the church. The church got no business calling.
Amen. Amen.
It's a disgrace some of the people that Baptist churches have in to preach for them when they're looking for a pastor.
That's right. Amen.
That's honest truth. I'm surprised, you know, that at Baptist churches that claim to believe the truth, that, and some of the people that they have in to preach for them, not only when they don't have a pastor, but sometimes when they do have one. But he's examined by the church in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, and it said, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. God help us to be afraid of some people today too, call themselves preachers, and believe not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Folks, we ought to examine preachers before we let them preach.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
We don't want you to get too hungry. So we're going to give you our last point today, the message. The means is preaching the Word of God. The method is through the local New Testament church, Ephesians 3:21. You know, as I was telling you, we had some problems in our church a few months back. had a group of people that thought you couldn't get saved unless the gospel was sung to you. And things happened. And in a New Testament church that's been an independent church for many years, had sound Baptist preachers, missionary Baptist preachers preaching to it. And one man in that church, Brother Wallace Jr. sitting here today, knows him, and I'm sure some of the rest of you would. But came to me after it was over with, and we had some problems, and he got mixed up in it. But after it was all over with, after he'd had a nervous breakdown, and I'll tell you, the Lord has straightened a deacon out, even if he has to make him have a nervous breakdown. I believe that. And this deacon will tell you that today, too. But he came to me after it was all over with. He said, Brother Smith, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been saved, I forget how many years. But I've been a member of a Baptist church and held an office for 28 years. And he said, until you showed it to me, I didn't know Ephesians 3 and 21 was in the Bible. That's right. Read it through many times. Didn't know Ephesians 3 and 21 was in there. It's in there. Turn to it and read it sometime.
Amen.
To him be glory in the church.
Amen.
And he didn't just say while he was here in the days of the apostles, but to the end of the age.
Amen.
Till he comes back.
Amen.
The message. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Notice, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, I'm going to declare unto you again the same thing I've been preaching all along. And he said, it's the same thing that'll get you saved if you believe it not in vain, but if you hear it right and you believe it, it'll get you saved. And that's how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's our message, folks. That's what we're to preach. Our means is preaching. Our methods is through His church. The messenger is a God-called preacher. And a missionary is a God-called preacher too, by the way.
Amen.
And then the message is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that saves sinners, not preachers.
Amen.
I want a song, but just a minute.
This is
where I stand today. And I want you to pray that God will give me the grace. Stand. This is not the one I'm looking for. It's number 341, that red book. You can take it and read. Let me have it here. I want to. This is my, I believe it is. Close to these, what I'm looking for. This is our message, Baptists, and I want you to pray that God will make it my message from here on out. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior. Let me walk with thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer. Only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, and bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternally may I enter, Lord, with thee. Close to thee, close to thee. Notice, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. I heard someone preaching, and I know what they meant, and I say amen to it. They said, sometimes you may have to walk alone as far as the world is concerned, but not as far as God is concerned. He'll walk along with you. May God help us as Baptists to hold to those distinctive marks that they've had all down through the years. Moses put it this way, or the writer of Hebrews put it this way, that Moses chose to suffer the affliction of God's people rather than be Pharaoh's grandson. He said he suffered. Then later on he said, esteeming the reproach of Jesus Christ. God's people are suffering people, and as far as the world is concerned, they are reproach. But I'll tell you what, it's greater riches than anything this world has got. Thank you.
Amen.